Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The awards ceremony for the Governor's Awards in the Arts is coming up on February 12th. You can get your tickets at artssouthdakota.org. It's at the Pier Ramkota Hotel and Conference Center. And SDPB's Chyna Lockett is planning on attending. She joins us now from SDPB's studio with the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in Rapid City. Hey, Chyna.
Good morning, Lori.
All right. So this is something, a conference that you're heading out to, and you've been to it before. Tell me what the event is like.
So the Governor's Award is a really distinguished conference. There's artists from all over South Dakota that you get to meet there, and it's just a fun time. There's dinner, and the award ceremony lasts a while. All of the recipients make a speech, and you learn a lot about these people during the speeches. Hopefully this year we can bring you a little bit more detailed information about their lives beforehand with some of this coverage.
All right. Dwayne Wilcox from Rapid City is receiving an award for distinction in creative achievement. You've talked to Dwayne. Tell me a little bit about his work.
Yeah, so Dwayne Wilcox is 61, and he's been making ledger art his entire life, and his stuff is so beautiful. He usually uses graph paper, like antique ledger graph paper, but the thing about his style is his paper doesn't necessarily have to be old, and his images kind of look like cartoons, but they cover serious topics. Dwayne has done a lot of research on ledger art since his great-grandfather did it. He grew up knowing what it was. But then when he was like 17, 18, he spent 2 years in Washington, D.C., where he studied the art form, and he started to notice a trend with this stuff that ledger art told stories back in the old days when people historically used it. And so it was kind of like a form of journalism. So Dwayne like connected that with his life and with his artistic style. And he found ways to bring like humorous things or serious things that he notices in his life or modern times or events into that artwork. And so the result is like almost a political cartoon. And his stuff is so beautiful and just really elegant. It's not too detailed. It's simple and gets a point across like a political cartoon on the ledger paper. But he uses crayons and colored pencils to make these drawings, which blew my mind because they don't look like crayon when you look at them.
Right. So ledger paper is the first paper to sort of make its way into the Great Plains, and yet it's a traditional art, but yet he's bringing this contemporary messaging and contemporary artwork as a modern native artist to it. Talk a little bit about the juxtaposition of that, the sort of, you know, this is who we are right now, and yet this historical art form.
Yeah, so when he was talking about it, he said it was kind of contemporary art, but he said that like using blank paper or using paper that isn't necessarily antique to create this type of ledger art is kind of how people historically did it, because not everybody like used antique paper back in like the early 1900s, right? They used whatever paper they could get their hands on, and they wrote on documents to create these images. And so it's kind of a juxtaposition, but it's also just kind of a way of getting across a modern message, but it's more about communicating emotions than just a message.
Yeah. Chyna, tell me a little bit about your work in sort of reaching out to all these honorees and bringing more, from digital production to conversations on In the Moment. What do you have coming up for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So for some of our conversations, we're going to be interviewing each of the five recipients on their backgrounds and on, Dwayne Wilcox just got into the studio. So I'm going to bring him on just real quick, if that's all right with you.
You know, that's great. I'll give a little introduction while you get him settled. So a little bit about Dwayne Wilcox, and you've been listening to some of this conversation. He creates arts that tell stories in the tradition of the Plains Indians on ledger paper. He's a lifelong artist who never had any formal art training, yet he's turned his art into a full-time career. His work is formed by an understanding of cultural history and experience. And next week, Wilcox receives the honor for distinction in creative achievement at the 24th Biennial Governor's Awards in the Arts. You can find tickets for that at artssouthdakota.org. And he's going to be joining us here in just a moment from our Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in Rapid City. Later in this hour, we're going to meet some more of the award recipients. John Colson is with us, and Mary Maxson is here as well, as we spend the hour talking about the Governor's Awards in the Arts, an hour of arts coverage on SDPB Radio. Dwayne Wilcox, welcome to In the Moment.
Good morning.
China and I were talking about you, and now we're hoping you'll tell a little bit of your own story in the sense of how you found ledger art as an artist and knew it was something that you wanted to explore more of.
It wasn't really an accident or anything. I mean, growing up, I had a grandfather that was had a real, real family relationship to the Carlisle Indian Industrial School in Pennsylvania, so I always knew what it was. So, but it wasn't really the art form that attracted me as a kid, because it was simplistic, it was line drawing. So, but as I grew a little older, I learned some respect about it and learned a little bit more that it was more than just some line drawings, and it was a lot more than just a simplistic picture. I started really appreciating the void of the third dimensional. I mean, not third dimensional, but the vanishing point and all the perspectives that you get in art classes doing art. I started liking the flat process of it, with that no background and the original artist that did their work on that was basically journalists, so they were telling their story. So that's kind of what I started seeing my interest wane to, because I always thought I wanted to do landscapes and things like that. That always impressed my mom and my dad, the landscapes. But as I matured, and I seen Linda Hawkes and Tom Hawkes were both pretty well-respected ledger artists back in the 80s. And I noticed that Don Montalo here in Rapid City and Jim Yellowhawk, there was a few other ones. It was just a little handful. But when I came on the scene, those guys were already established. I mean, I was kind of Johnny come lately. But I what I was looking at as far as the whole broad spectrum went is that there was really the contemporaryness of our story today, the living artists. Yeah, the ledger work that's done today is contemporary, but the storyline was from the past. So I decided to kind of update that and started basically trying to do a lot of work that was representational to my own life and my friends, their stories like that, very contemporary. But the thing is it's hard to live in a market environment with that contemporary story, because a lot of people don't want to buy, because you have to sell as an artist to have right. to make a living. So a lot of people didn't want to buy baseball caps and T-shirt imagery. So you had to find a happy spot in the middle of that. So that's kind of where I landed, and it kind of took off from there. And I started doing more of our. I noticed that there was, I think Jim Yellowhawk was the only one that was really kind of doing some humor kind of element to his work, and I really liked that it was more of us than a lot of people see, that there is a good balance of humor in our world. So I decided to put a little bit more of that in there, because I enjoy drawing them. Just to think about the concept of the piece I was working on or something, or the storyline that I was working on. And sometimes even the title, I would kind of giggle. I enjoyed it, you know. It was kind of sweet, actually. But there's only so many people that want to hang humor in their house. So you can shoot yourself in the foot by going too far with the humor element. So that was my start.
And talk a little bit about just sort of the placement. And China and I were diving into this a little bit, of this sort of the old and the new. I mean, you might have a very brief moment of time to tell a complete story.
Yeah.
Really. And sometimes there are these sort of contemporary elements, these modern objects, so, you know, an electric fan or a dental chair or, you know, something that is pictured here, a game where there's two people playing kind of rock'em sock'em robots or, you know, there's something in there that has a contemporary feel mixed with, you know, a traditional story. How do you sort of figure out what goes in? What are the things that I can include, the images, the motifs that help me tell this story so people can understand and then it can continue to reveal itself with multiple viewings?
Well, I'll just start with that one piece that you talked about, the Rock'em Sock'em robots. Yeah. You know, I wasn't trying to be a very... I'm not very deep. I mean, I'm pretty shallow when it comes to that. I mean, but sometimes how it's interpreted by someone else, that particular piece is at the Hood Museum at Dartmouth, and it was in a very elaborate exhibit about a couple years ago. And how it got there was I was doing an exhibit in and I always had a couple collectors that would come up and that thought I would never hang these pictures. That would have them hidden. And when I'd see them, this is what they kind of required out of me, I guess. They wanted to see something that was off the norm. So they were hid behind my little counter. And when they came up, I showed them to them and they got all googly and picked them up. So it was kind of strange to see that in an exhibit out there with a lot of really powerful imagery by really well-established Native artists. So I thought that was kind of strange that I was in the same exhibit with that little cheeky picture I did, you know. Because the concept of it, my mind was, you know, that it's an image of Custer and a supposed Sitting Bull on the other side of the board and... Custer has his shirt off, and they got the handles and the controls of the robots, and they're really, you know, involved in the battle. But, you know, that's kind of that headbutting thing with the Native culture, with the government culture, too, so that right. we've never really had a level playing field. So I started doing this series called Leveling the Playing Field, where I put characters of once their side and our side kind of in a dynamic that... represented the ongoing conflict.
Dwayne Wilcox, Distinction in Creative Achievement for this year's Governor's Awards in the Arts. Congratulations, and thank you for spending time with us today.
Well, thank you.